Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. Let's talk about the bliss of another snow day. No school, endless hot chocolate, maybe some extra TV. And did we mention no school again? So that's the perspective of thousands of kids around the region. But now let's talk about how many parents view the situation. Another day stuck inside with a restless child or children. The challenge of juggling work schedules on short notice. And for many, lost wages. And maybe for some, a loss of sanity. If you're a parent stuck at home again, you might be running out of ideas on how to entertain your children. Maybe you're running out of space on your walls for yet another drawing. To get a reality check on this challenge and some ideas about how to deal with it, we're joined by Christine Coe. She's a writer and editor of the Boston Mama's blog. She's also author of Minimalist Parenting, Enjoy Modern Life. Enjoy Modern Life More by Doing Less. And she's home today again with her two kids, age 10 and 3. And Christine Coe, thanks for joining us. It's good to have you.
Thanks so much for having me today.
And listeners, we want to invite you into this part of the conversation. How are you coping with the demands that numerous snow days are putting on you and your family? How are you filling the time? Give us some ideas. Call in with your questions, your comments at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. In a moment, we're going to invite Gordon Hammersley on the show, the chef, with some great cold weather recipe ideas. But first, Christine Coe. Christine, you have two kids, age 10 and 3. How are you and your husband coping with this?
Well, you know, today, I mean, my husband and I both happen to be essentially contract freelancers, so we're splitting time. And actually, it's funny that Gordon's going to be on the call in just a few minutes, because right now my 10-year-old daughter is downstairs making spinach souffle for dinner. So empowering her in the kitchen actually has been a really major thing, not just, you know, for her own activity, but it's a major family win all around.
Yeah. So in your house, are numerous snow days, one after the other, is it a special treat? Is it taxing? Both? How do you describe it?
You know, it really depends on the mojo of the parent in question, I would say. You know, I've heard a lot of frustration on community threads, mostly on Facebook, about, you know, the challenges of how to deal with your employers who are getting a little cranky at you calling in again, or, you know, what does this mean for the end of the school year? So I've found that we're most successful in coping with a snow day when we can sort of mentally get our heads around the fact that, okay, this is where we live, this is what we're dealing with, and let's make a plan, try to help each other out, and, you know, fill in work gaps when we can. And otherwise, you know, just try to make the best of it.
Give me a sense of what you do to fill time during the day with your two kids. What you mentioned that you've got one of your kids is downstairs in the kitchen getting a spinach souffle ready. That sounds like a good pastime.
Yeah, I mean the older kids, the reality is they're more independent. They can do things. You know, my 10-year-old often has tons of homework to entertain herself with. You know, she can read on her own. A 3-year-old is definitely quite a bit more work. So this, you know, or just needs more management. So this morning I had her set up with a painting project so she could, you know, paint a big mural and I could just cut it up into Valentine's later this week. You know, we spent the morning out in the snow just kind of embracing the elements. And we have a teeny tiny, you know, we're in an urban area, have a teeny tiny front yard, but made a pretty rock and sled and track on the front yard and a couple tunnels. So, you know, they were having a great time. And when we could sort of let ourselves just, you know, hold off on the email and just be in that moment, we had a great time too, actually.
Well, you mentioned being in that moment. I think that's sort of one of the key things. I know the word in my family, and by the way, I give 100% of the credit to my wife, who is home with our 3-year-old. But the word, her word of choice, I'd say, is surrender. Surrender to this moment. And, you know, easier said than done. And obviously there are lots of competing demands and claims and work that needs to be done that can't be done. But do you think that's an important bit of advice?
I think it is. And, you know, one of the biggest stressors, obviously, is people feeling the pressures of work. And yep. One thing that I recommend to a lot of people to cope with that is to talk to your employer, just be really direct, let them know what you're dealing with, and then say, hey, I know I have X, Y, and Z deliverables that I need to get done. I'm on it, you know, but it's just not going to be on the typical 9-to-5 schedule. I'm going to get it done in this time frame, but I'm on it. And I think that when you can communicate openly with your employer, they know that you're not just dropping the ball and you both know kind of what the plan is, then it really eases a lot of that sort of emotional congestion, as it were.
1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to join this conversation. How are you coping with the demands that numerous snow days are putting on you and your family? Give us a call. With us is Christine Coe. She's editor of the Boston Mamas blog. Let's go to Brenda, who's calling from Framingham. Brenda, you're on the air.
Hi. I was just listening to the show here. My son was in the room, in earshot. And we had this funny conversation about how, you know, all these snow days can actually be tiresome for kids, too.
Absolutely.
They're tired of being snowed in. They want to go to school and see their friends and hang out.
And how old's your son, Brenda?
He's 13.
He's 13, and so he's had enough. He's ready to go back.
However, I have to say, one of the things that's been wonderful about these multiple days is that he and I have done a lot of cooking together.
Oh, that's nice. Good. Well, I'm glad we're on this cooking theme because, as I said, we're going to hear from Gordon Hammersley in a moment. But, Christine, what's your advice to Brenda and her 13-year-old son? This is something that I've heard, too. I mean, we have this sort of romantic idea that kids love these snow days, and I'm sure a lot of them do. But I've heard from kids as well that say, hey, enough. I want my friends. I want to get out of the house. I'm going crazy.
Oh, sure. Even this morning, my 10-year-old said, hey, you know, we have the MCAS coming up. I'm concerned about this. And I was like, oh, really? I was a little bit clueless about that. But I think as much as you can, if you have, some immediate friends in the neighborhood, I mean, this is the time to kind of use your local village, if you can, to try to connect with people, get your kids out. And even, you know, we don't have friends sort of right on our street, right immediately around us. We have other close friends. But even the connection of intergenerational is pretty important. Just the other day, I had my daughter, older one, go out, and the little one, too, actually, and they were shoveling the driveway for our elderly, next-door neighbor, and those folks came out and said thank you. And there's something about that connection that you can foster right now that's a really, really good thing.
That's sounds like a really, really important attitude to have to get through these days. Let's go to Sean, who's calling from Bridgewater State University. Sean, you're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
Very well. What's on your mind?
So I was hearing, I've just been listening to a few of the other people that have just been talking about how they've been dealing with the snow. And I myself have been having to kind of cope with what am I going to do with all of these days off, because at the university here, it's been decided that we've had at least 3 snow days now. So I actually went up to my car this morning because all the cars had to relocate so the plows could get into the snow and get everything out of the way. But I just cleared my car off along with a few other cars, and I've just kind of found that I can manage my time more wisely instead of just kind of Netflixing the whole day off or watching TV the whole day. Maybe read or do something that could help benefit me for a class in the future, because I know that I certainly have plenty of work that I could be doing.
All right, Sean. Well, thanks for that idea, Christine. I mean, Sean seems to be talking about sort of taking advantage almost of this downtime and thinking about ways to catch up on some other stuff.
Yeah, you know, actually one crazy thing that I love doing on snow days, and I mean, it actually makes a lot of sense, but I use it as a time to declutter and actually declutter with my kids and just clean out the house. And shockingly, they can get into it. But I mean, I think I will admit I'm not great at sort of sitting on the floor and playing with Legos or whatever all day. I kind of need to be active in sort of moving things forward and getting things done. So cooking projects with the kids, decluttering, any of those kinds of things where you feel like, okay, well, at least, you know, I'm pushing the household stuff a little bit, you know, at a time. That can also help alleviate your stress.
All right. Well, you mentioned cooking projects. So let's bring in Gordon Hammersley. He joins us now from his home in Sudbury, Massachusetts. He's the former owner and head chef of Hammersley's Bistro in the South End, which closed last fall. And Gordon is now a food columnist for the Boston Globe and an advisor to the nonprofit's Future Chefs and Share Our Strengths. Gordon Hammersley, great to have you. Thanks for coming back on Radio Boston.
Thanks, Anthony. Good to be here.
Love to ask you, first of all, what's the weather doing out there in Sudbury?
Well, it seems to have settled down a little bit. We're not getting any snow, but I will say that I've had more snow in my front yard since 1978, that's for sure.
All right.
78 was the benchmark, and it made me leave for California. I'm not exactly sure what my choice is for next week.
I was just going to say, it sounds like you're pretty settled out there in Sudbury. Well, we heard Christine Coe telling us about her. One of her kids is downstairs making a spinach. Spinach casserole, Christine? Did I have that right?
Spinach souffle.
Spinach souffle.
Spinach souffle. I love this kid.
She makes brownie pie, too, when I'm
there
stressed out.
There are 30 restaurants
she's
in Boston
good.
That
she's
need
really
her to
good.
Start working next week.
So, Gordon, what's cooking right now in the Hammersley household?
Well, I'm actually braising lamb at the moment, and my wife, Fiona, has been on my case to make a lamb cassoulet, which is a bean dish, basically, with vegetables and aromatic herbs and wine. And I'm making a lamb version because that's what I had in my freezer this morning when I woke up. And so that's what's going on now. And I'm about to actually bang out some chocolate chip cookies, which will be hopefully good later on as well. So that's what's going on in my house.
And when we have this kind of weather, I mean, deep snow, winter weather, stuck at home, I mean, what are you inclined to make? What does this sort of moment request that we make?
You know, for me, winter food is like one of the most comforting and wonderful time. And, you know, it's just a wonderful time of year to cook. And so for me, what it does is it brings out the baker in me, and it also brings out the slow braised kind of cooking. And I like the kind of cooking where you can do a little prep work, throw everything in a pot, add a little bit of wine or chicken stock or whatever, and put it into a low oven and walk away from it for 2 or 3 hours, and your kitchen just fills up with incredible aroma. It also, you know what, it brings out the creativity in me, too. Instead of thinking about what I want to go out and buy to cook, I deal with what I have in the house to cook. And so, you know, I'm looking at the back of my spice shelf for things, looking at things that I haven't seen in a long time, maybe haven't used. And it just kind of, you know, it spurs the creative in me as well. So that's the kind of thing that I love about this time of year.
Speaking of bringing out the creative side, you also recommend something you call the freezer challenge, right?
Yeah, the freezer challenge. It's one of those things. I don't usually like the competition cooking shows, but damn, on a day when everybody's stuck at home, why not make it kind of fun? And so what I like to do is to open up the freezer to each contestant, and each contestant goes through the freezer as fast as he or she can, hits the spice shelf in the pantry after that, and the first one to make something somewhat edible wins.
I love that idea. What do you think, Christine? Do you think that would go over with your kids?
Well, I think, you know, Gordon, we're just sort of bizarrely on the same wavelength today because when the snow started really falling and we knew everything was canceled and things have been canceled again tomorrow, we invited some good friends who are just a street over from us over for dinner tonight. And I was kind of like, what are we going to cook? So I looked in the freezer. I did my own little internal freezer challenge and found some, you know, lovely lamb in there. And we're going to do a lamb and beef lasagna. I'm going to do it, you know, with a nice sauce and everything. So I think it's a great way. You know, it's very pro decluttering, so I'm all over that approach.
Absolutely. I found things in my freezer that I haven't seen in 2 years, so this is great. I have one of the things that I found was two partridge and two quail that I think, I don't know how long they've been there, but we're defrosting them to make sure that that, you know, they may go into the cassoulet a little bit later. I'm not sure.
Well, this is all sounding great.
I also had some smoked shrimp, which I'm defrosting. I'm going to make little kind of smoked shrimp and goat cheese, little crostini to start the meal tonight, too.
Oh, boy. Gordon, it sounds like you might be. Are you missing cooking for the public there at Hammersley's Bistro?
Well, you know, I've been. It's funny that you say that. I've been cooking for two lately, which is a challenge, you know, compared to what I used to do. But I'm loving just kind of cooking it whatever I feel like on any given day. It's terrific. Speaking of kids, you know, I love making cookies with kids, and you know, the basic sugar cookie recipe always works well. And then you know, you get the older ones to do the cookie part, and get the younger ones decorating it with, you know, melted chocolate and a little bit of powdered sugar and some fruit and that kind of thing. That's kind of cool. And one other idea that we used to do with our daughter, Fiona and I did with our daughter, was to do kind of like a chocolate fondue. So if you cut up fruit and if you have a few berries around or whatever, a pineapple, something like that, cut it into chunks, stick it with toothpicks, and then melt some chocolate and dip it into chocolate, and that's kind of fun.
This sounds like great stuff. We're talking to Gordon Hammersley. He's the former owner and head chef at Hammersley's Bistro, also Christine Coe, editor of the Boston Mama's Blog. And we're asking you, listeners, how you are coping with the demands of these snow days with your family. And obviously the conversation has turned toward cooking. Why not? We're at 1-800-423-8255. Gordon, you're at Hammersley's Bistro, of course. Braising was a big theme, and you've mentioned that wonderful braised lamb that you're doing. Give us a couple of other ideas about things that cook long and slow during a cold winter day.
Well, any big, ugly cut of meat will just turn into a magical, wonderful end dish if you give it enough time. So lamb works for sure. Beef, and you got to get the right cuts of beef. So, you know, you want to use shoulder, you want to use neck if you can. So we're talking stew cuts here. And then, you know, I love braising chicken, which only really takes an hour or so. Chicken works really, really well. And of course, the great thing about braising is that you can be as creative as you want to be. You can go in any direction that you want. And so, you know, think about, you know, the different flavors that you might want to approach it with. Use something that is sweet. You can throw things like, if you have some, dried fruit in the house, apples, pears, dried apples, prunes are wonderful. Combining that with chilies, for example, so that sweet and hot flavor is wonderful. I like making chili on these days as well.
Ah, now you're talking.
And, you know, lots of different kinds of chilies. You know, you can really approach it in lots of different ways. And if you don't have any meat, certainly vegetable chilies, three bean chilies, you know, work really, really well.
And Gordon, just for people who might not be 100% clear about what we mean when we say braise, it's just a fancy word for cooking long and slow at a low temperature, right?
Right, with a little bit of moisture in there. It's not a, you know, a big watery stew, but it's just a little bit of moisture just to try and keep things nice and moist and tender at the end. And it's always cooked covered in a slow oven, maybe, you know, 325 degrees.
All right.
You know, another idea that I love is making dog biscuits, by the way.
Dog biscuits?
Yeah, and those are easy, and they're good for you. I mean, they're good for your dog, they're good for you, you know, and there are lots of good recipes online for dog biscuits, and it'll make your pets happy, too, which I'm sure those guys are going crazy as well.
All right. Well, speaking of lots of good recipes online, we've got some of Gordon's recipes on our website, radioboston.org. Gordon Hammersley is the former owner and head chef of Hammersley's Bistro in the South End, which closed last fall. He's now a food columnist for the Boston Globe and an advisor to the nonprofit's Future Chefs and Share Our Strength. Gordon, thanks so much for helping us get through this cold winter snowy afternoon. Appreciate it.
Thank you all. Happy cooking.
Same to you. And Christine Coe is editor of the Boston Mama's Blog and author of the book Minimalist Parenting: Enjoy Modern Life More by Doing Less. Christine, thank you so much for helping us out today.
Thanks so much for having us.
And listeners, stay with us. Coming up, new ideas on how to ease the pain of parking in Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.